This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's that time of the day of the week. It's Davey Hudson. It's the Depot. It's the Davey Depot, your host today and always. Davey Hudson, take it away.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Davey.
The way I said it, I was kind of like expecting like a, hi, Dr. Nick, you know, from The Simpsons. I don't know. It just stood out to me. I hope everyone had a fun weekend. You know, it was nice weather for the most part, and was able to get out there and enjoy myself. I went to the game yesterday, and I had a good time. What? Just point it out.
Just mute the computer.
Why?
Because there's a buzz. Thank you.
I wasn't hearing it on my end. It's all right. That's why we do these things. I don't care to let people behind the curtain. But anyway, you guys are in for a fantastic Depot. You know.
Oh, okay.
We got a classic film to review. Maybe one of the best films ever. Give you a little tease there. Kind of talked about it earlier. I was going to give you some facts for Omaha for those who are wanting to go each day. So my fact of the day is just going to revolve around the city of Omaha. But to get things started on Omaha, we obviously know the College World Series is there. But did you
that
know...
That has to be the number one draw, right?
I would say from a... Actually, probably not.
Okay.
This isn't for that. Apparently, they're really big on the indie music scene, so they get like a lot of concerts from that style and genre. But my fact for today, the Reuben sandwich was invented in Omaha.
You don't say.
During a late-night poker game at the Blackstone Hotel, a local grocer was asked to ante up and create a new dish. The available ingredients resulted in an American menu staple.
Good on them. It's a good sandwich.
So, there's one to get us in, and there'll be more facts throughout the day. I mean, it's Omaha. I'm not going to be able to, like, just wow you with a bunch of stuff, but there are some interesting tidbits here and there. But that's how we're going to get started. My banger for today is Surrender by Cheap Trick, because LSU should have just surrendered earlier on than they did.
They really should have, man. It got hot. It got so hot once those clouds went away, and I was just like, guys, like, just swing and miss every time. Like, don't try to score a Peasley, you know, three, four runs.
It wasn't even then that when they were batting. It was just like every time they just kept sending pitchers to the bullpen, and you're just like, it's not going to make a difference. Like, let's just go home.
Exactly.
I am a little dehydrated, but I did my usual where I stopped and got a drink that helps. It's a Pedialyte knockoff, to be honest. But you know,
is it the IV?
No, not
the
a
liquid
just,
IV?
Yeah, it's just like you go to the... It just says, like, compare to Pedialyte. Like on
oh,
the thing.
Gotcha.
It's just like a knockoff, but it's pretty much the same stuff. You know, got to stay hydrated. It's a big rule, especially when it's hot.
Hydration was key this weekend.
So, no, it was fun. I was happy to see Tennessee fans out and about tailgating. I even ran into you.
Well, so, we set it up. Yeah. It wasn't like a happenstance. Yeah.
I was like, oh, there's Houston.
Randomly.
I'll go annoy him. But, no, we had a good time. It was fun, and I'm excited about what the future entails.
So you went to your first Tennessee baseball game, and?
First, well, this season.
Well, I know. Well, you've been poo-pooing the team all year. So how
no,
would,
I've been poo-pooing watching them on television.
What's wrong with okay, now you've seen them in person. What would you rate the experience?
Well,
one
going
out of 10?
To a ball game is always much more fun.
No, like, I don't disagree.
I mean,
did you find yourself like, man, I kind of want to follow Omaha, watch all these games now. I want to watch more of these games.
I'll definitely be more in tuned than I would have
prior
to going. Just
feel a little more connected now, don't you?
Yeah, well, it was just great, too, that it was a high-scoring affair. I mean, we talk about it for football. It's like, well, at least if Josh Heupel can put up some points, we'll be feeling better. Like,
and then the winning.
Pretty much in any sport. The more points, the more fun it is. So I'm down with that. Obviously, winning trumps all, but...
But no, it's nice to win, you know, 15-6.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, 4-2. Although, I will say the 4-2 game was, it was very, very exciting. But, yeah, it was nice to just get out early and just pummel them.
Yeah. People were asking me if I had seen updated odds for teams in Omaha. And on most of your sites, that information is not posted yet. You will, at least my assumption is, once these games wrap up today.
Mm-hmm.
For
because that'll impact
figuring out who's going. That's when you'll start to see those odds come out. I know Tennessee, like DraftKings, was doing a promotion beforehand as far as like getting Tennessee and Vanderbilt. I don't even remember what those odds were, but like one of those two teams to win the College World Series. But Tennessee should have good odds, I would say, when you look at who all is likely going to be playing as well. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm no baseball savant, but just from what I've seen from the other teams and how Tennessee has been playing as of late, I feel confident that Tennessee can make a deep run, and they definitely have a chance. I'm not going to put it in pin that they're for sure winning it, but as of right now, I like our odds. And just speaking of gambling, had a really good weekend. I think I went, let's see here, 8-3 on the weekend, pretty good return on investment. Today, I only have one pick so far. That is for the Jazz versus Clippers, and I got Jazz covering 5.5. So NBA is wrapping up. We're down to the final four in the NHL, but we still got baseball. I'm looking forward. We've been trying to work on some stuff for football season, so we'll keep that going. But my movie review for today is a classic entitled Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
And you didn't already do this one, right?
I have not done Anchorman.
All right, just making sure.
I know for a fact. I've done a lot of Will Ferrell movies. The Campaign, I quoted a lot from that.
Mm.
There's been some other classics from the ranks of Will Ferrell that I've discussed it at length on the show before. But anyway, we're set in 1970s San Diego. I don't know the exact year. We're following the Channel 4 news team, which is headed by Ron Burgundy, who is played by Will Ferrell. Champ Kind, sports reporter, who's David Koechner. Paul Rudd plays Brian Fantana, the lead field reporter. And your meteorologist, Brick Tamlin, played by Steve Carell. Now, these guys have all been friends, but they are really at the forefront of like action news kind of happening as it took place in the 70s. Like at one point in the film, like it's the first time they just like start airing aerial footage from a car chase that's taking place by the police being in pursuit.
You are mixing the two together.
Hmm?
You're mixing the two together.
What do you mean? Is that from the second one?
Yep.
Oof. All right.
Good start.
All right, scratch that part. Anyway, so Ron and his crew, they enjoy the finer things of life. I mean,
that squirrel can water ski.
They're having a great party at Ron Burgundy's house, and he meets a lovely blonde woman by the name of Veronica Corningstone, who is just moved in from Asheville, North Carolina. And to impress her, Ron goes up, and I have many leather-bound books in my, what does he say, smells of rich mahogany? My desk, I don't even remember that part.
I think it's just my apartment.
My home smells of rich mahogany. Anyway, this kind of gives you the idea of how Ron acts in most situations. But anyway, the lead director of the news station is been told that they need to add more diversity to the team. And, of course, the guys are like, what in the hell is diversity? I'm pretty sure Champ says that. And then Ron decides to say, well, Champ, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure diversity is an old wooden ship used during the Civil War era.
No, Ron, diversity is not an old wooden ship.
Then I have no idea. So they announced that Veronica Corningstone is going to be added to the team. And one day, Ron is late for the newscast. He actually has a dog by the name of Baxter. And Baxter is in the car. Ron throws a burrito out of his window, hits Jack Black in the face as he is riding his motorcycle.
Chopper.
He wrecks. Ron and Jack Black get into it, and then Jack Black just punts Baxter off a bridge. It's very traumatic. So Ron does not handle it well. Then he learns that if he's late to do the news, they're going to put Corningstone on. So he starts freaking out, and he tries to get there, but he's too late at the end of the day. And Veronica, she has a really good show. She does a nice setup, and she ends up closing with, I don't even remember her line. It's no,
and thanks for stopping by, San Diego. Yeah.
And Ron's classic line is, you stay classy, San Diego.
You stay classy, Ron Burgundy.
And so with Veronica Corningstone doing so well and Ron being late, they kind of get into a battle of sorts, trying to get superior, trying to get the upper hand of who is going to be the superior.
Well, keep in mind at this point, they're a couple.
They are dating. Yes,
they're dating, yeah.
And a lot of the quotes I can't say on air, but they are very humorous. So Ron and Veronica are going at it, at which point Veronica is told that Ron will read anything that is put on the teleprompter. So Veronica sabotages Ron and puts a, where he usually says, you stay classy, San Diego. She changes it to where it says, go bleep yourself, San Diego. And of course, the newscast is happening and Ron's just reading the teleprompter. He says it, doesn't think anything of it. He's like, all right, good show, everyone. And they're like, Ron, do you know what you just said? And I think at that point it's whenever they're showing it back to him, he goes, great, Odin's Raven. I could be wrong, but that's another classic line.
One of his drops right there, yeah.
And so Ron ultimately gets fired. Ed tells his friends that if they talk to Ron, they will also be fired. And so, I mean, Ron and Veronica, they're no longer together at this point, but Veronica feels awful for how she had handled things. And so, you know, you kind of have that low part of the movie where Ron is just really struggling. He goes into a bar. Before he goes into a bar, though, he's just drinking milk on like a hot day. And he's just like, oh, today was a bad choice for milk. And like, he's just like all decrepit looking. And it's a rough show. But he goes in, and I believe Danny Trejo's the bartender. And Danny's like telling him very clearly, like, hey, man, times are changing. You need to get with the times. And it's very thought out. I wouldn't call it a speech, but just little monologue there. And of course, Ron goes, what? Were you saying something? I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish. But the whole thing was in English, so it just adds to the humor of the show. And anyway, so it turns out that, I think it's Ming Ling the panda at the San Diego Zoo is about to give birth. And every news team in the area is wanting to make sure that they have footage of the panda being born. Now, it's kind of funny. You go back and you look at some of the people. Seth Rogen's actually the cameraman for Veronica Corningstone. But there's Wes Mantooth, who is played by Vince Vaughn, who is like at the rival news station, along with a lot of others. At some point, they have a fight between all the news stations, and it's just a who's of 2000s comedy that's showing up there for the fight. Like, you got Ben Stiller. Now I'm trying to really make sure I don't confuse Anchorman 1 and 2, because like in Anchorman 2, like Kanye West is there, Will Smith, Luke Wilson's in the first one. He might show up in the second one, but
Tim Robbins.
Yeah, it's a lot of great actors, at least comedians in a way. But anyway, they got to get footage of Ming Ling giving birth, and what ends up happening is Wes Mantooth throws Veronica Corningstone into the bear pit.
Because she found the perfect shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Wes basically says something along the lines of, wow, a shot like that would have you skyrocket to the top of the news rankings. And so he ends up sabotaging her. She falls in. They're bringing in to film it. But now Channel 4 doesn't have anybody on the scene. And so Ed reluctantly decides to get Ron Burgundy on the phone. So he brings Ron Burgundy in to call the panda being born. But as he gets there, he finds that Veronica's in the pit with the bears. And so he ends up jumping in with the grizzlies as well. And as soon as he does, he's like, I immediately regret this decision. So it's, you got two humans versus a bunch of grizzly bears that are waking up. I think they're technically hibernating at the time, but they are distracted. And so they end up waking up. But Remember back to when I told you about Baxter being punted off the bridge? They never could find Baxter.
I love how
Baxter.
You're using Ron Burgundy, like, pentameter. Mm. Remember Baxter? I told you he got punted off the bridge.
So Baxter shows up, and they have a dialogue between a bear and Baxter. And the whole thing's, like, subtitled, but it's like Baxter's just barking in the show, and then the bear's just roaring in a way. And the dialogue goes as follows. Baxter, leave these people alone. They mean you no harm. And then the bear goes, we bears are a proud race. They must pay for their intrusion. And then Baxter goes, on my journey, I met one of your kind. His name was Catajoe. We became friends. And then the bear just goes, Catajoe is my cousin. Go in peace. And then Baxter goes, I will tell tales of your compassion. And then bear goes, fare thee well, Baxter. You shall always be a friend of the bears. And the day is saved. And then Ron and Veronica end up squashing their beef. And Channel 4 News welcomes back Ron Burgundy. And then we get a second Anchorman about 10 years later. And that is Anchorman, the legend of Ron Burgundy. I give it two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up.
It's two thumbs up for sure. I don't know who would be listening that hasn't seen that movie. Donovan Cook points this out. But it was a fine review nonetheless. Hmm. Yeah, it was good. Never laughed harder at a movie the first time.
That was the one.
Huh? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Both of them, one and two, both.
Two was good, but you kind of knew what to expect. But it was kind of like Napoleon Dynamite in a way. You go into it and you're just like, all right, let's see what this is. Oh my gosh. It was just so different. Mm-hmm. So funny. Classic.
Where'd you get those clothes at? The toilet store? I probably should have just hit the button.
That would
that
be so
one.
Not funny to people if they actually hadn't seen the movie.
Brick, where'd you get a hand grenade? I don't know.
Dorothy Mantoo, this is Saint. All right.
Hour three continues. The Fan Run Studios.
Dave.
Fox Sports Knoxville.
That's Davey. That's good Lord. Davey, short segment or did you put those together is what he's trying to ask.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said you nodded yes.
To the first both. Part.
Oh, all right. Ladies and gentlemen.
I'll just go out whenever. I'm just going to quit talking at some point. Mm. If you don't hit the button, we'll just sit here, I guess.
I'll make it work. I always do.
You're just going to talk like Ron Burgundy the rest of the show?
It'd be pretty good. Just do that for like a week. Today we got 1 o'clock, Dallas Baptist versus Virginia, ESPNU, and 7 o'clock, Notre Dame versus Mississippi State, ESPN2. Tennessee will play. At least one of those.
Yeah,
four
not gonna
teams.
Lie, I'm gonna be locked. I'm gonna be locked in on that one.
If not
come
more.
1 o'clock,
we'll play at least one of those teams. If not more,
that's a big one.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Yes, we the movie review has ended. We get it. It is perhaps the single most quotable movie of all time. There are many quotes.
All the quotes.
Are you just laughing at the quotes as you read them in your head?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's awesome. I might have to watch that again, honestly. It is so stupid funny. 60% of the time, it works every time. That doesn't make sense.
It's hurt your side funny.
It's made with little bits of panther.
So you know it's good. This is worse than the time the raccoon got into the copier. Brian, I'm not going to lie. That smells like straight gasoline.
So Donnie wants to know how big.
I'm sorry, you can't stop once you start. Can't. It is seriously
one of those.
I mean, I've said it about a lot of movies. This is a very that is the single most quotable movie ever. Mm. Like, I don't know if there's a line in the movie that's just like a throwaway. Even the stuff that doesn't matter, it's just like the way they say it and just the phrasing, it's just, they went.
Maybe it's yogging with a soft J. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Discovered by the Germans in 1810.
Donnie wants to know how big the stadium in Omaha actually plays.
All right. You got it pulled up? Cause I,
yeah,
I'm,
I do.
Okay, good. I'm glad
so
that you
So down
did
the
some,
lines
bro.
At Lindsey Nelson.
320.
Yeah.
320 down the lines.
And the announcers were debating whether it's even that far.
Oh, come on.
They were.
It's 320.
It's Chris Burke.
Is there an... Oh, yeah.
He was like, yeah, I'm not sure it's that
By
far.
By the way, I love Chris Burke. Man, you could be a little bit more of a homer, like just a tad. You don't have to be like anti-homer. You gotta...
Well, the LSU fan said every time an LSU player hit one hard, I can't remember what his word was, but he would do something that was different than when Tennessee hit one. They were complaining.
Like, oh, I think he would go, uh-oh.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what it was.
Yeah. Uh-oh. But I think he did that as like a, uh-oh, here's a home run. Yeah, you know, yeah. I don't think it was negative. Of course, they would be like, well, classless.
Whoever called Drew Gilbert's grand slam, I'm pretty sure he said that.
Uh-oh.
The one against Vandy, I cannot remember who number two in the booth was that day. Well, I don't think it was Chris Burke, but he goes, mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Oh, no way. Oh, no way. And then, obviously,
yeah,
clipped
pretty
out.
Common reaction for a home run.
So yeah, it's just that initial like, uh-oh, like we might have something here. I don't think, shut up, LSU fans, go home.
So it's 335 feet down the lines at
okay.
TD Ameritrade, 15 extra feet.
Drew's home run might have made it. It also might have been off the wall for a double. Beck's was gone at 335. Okay, so it's 335. So an extra 15 feet down the lines, not too bad.
To center field, it's 408.
Ours is 390?
Yeah. And it's not so much that that's just a number to dead center, but if you got to get to 408 out in center, I mean, and what's confusing here is Lindsey Nelson's is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like more of a sharper point than normal. It's not like nice and round at all.
Yep, yep.
So like at Lindsey Nelson, doesn't it say like, well, what does center say?
I thought it said 390.
390?
I thought it was 390.
Doesn't it say like 375, though? Like out to the like deepest part of the power alleys? Or 385?
385.
Yeah. And it's only 390 in the center. So it's more of a like a pie shape.
Yeah.
At TD Ameritrade, it's 408 to dead center. It's 375 like out to the power alleys. Which
oh.
They're measuring farther a little more to the lines than they do at Lindsey Nelson, which is why that number's different. So it's
okay.
More rounded. It's more of a just, I mean, it's a newer park. I mean, it was built in 2012. So,
okay.
I mean, it's kind of just a newer, rounded off outfield.
Okay.
But the ball doesn't carry. In the old Rosenblatt Stadium, the wind was nuts. So sometimes the wind would be blowing out there and just anything up in the air was gone. Sometimes the wind could be blowing in there and change things too. But here, like you said, it's more in the city. It's a little more just kind of dead air. The guys were talking about on the game yesterday, though, as it was winding down and they were projecting Tennessee to Omaha. And they were saying, yeah, you got to be a little concerned about the fact that the park's a lot bigger than the
yep,
home park.
That's what Burke
Vols.
Was saying. Yep.
But he also said he feels like the ball is different in college baseball the last few years, which is why we're seeing more home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not as big of a deal as it used to be.
Also mentioned the gaps are pretty big.
Well, that's the thing, you know, the bigger field, that's just going to spread out your outfield.
You get more
chances
of some of the fly balls dropping.
Exactly, because they're playing back or they're playing left. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Yes, there might not be as many home runs, but there's just more room to land a ball that might, you know, in Lindsey Nelson be a relatively easy, you know, sprint and catch.
Right.
Whereas they're too far away to catch it in Omaha. So, yeah. What is there a lot of foul territory?
Because
that's one thing about, like, Hoover, there's a ton of foul territory, whereas Lindsey Nelson, very, very little.
There's a good bit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a good bit. Just looking at the pictures here, looks like a lot to me.
Oh, yeah, much, much more than Lindsey Nelson.
It's because they round off, it's like we talked about, they round off the down the line seating,
mm-hmm.
so that it can all angle back towards home plate. Whereas at Lindsey Nelson, it was originally designed with none of that seating. So when they added it, it's more straight. It's more of a straight line.
Right.
Oh, yeah, a ton more than Lindsey Nelson.
Yeah.
Now that I'm looking at more pictures.
I like
Which
that.
I don't know that might help us.
I was going to say, I think that helps us. So instead of, because that happened a lot to LSU where they foul one up that we're like, you know, could maybe get to, and then it's, you know, two rows in. No, I think that helps us. Yeah, sign me up for that.
It holds 24,505.
That many? Wow.
Record attendance 28,800 for a 2015 game between LSU and TCU.
LSU. That's a you know, I feel bad for them.
Who are they going to hire?
Oh, no, don't even.
I wasn't even going to make it. Like, they got to hire a coach. I literally, like, I mean, I heard they've been passed on by everybody.
What about the Ole Miss guy? Is that what they're going to do?
Is that Bianco?
Yeah, that's what I had heard. And he's done. No, they play today? No, he's done now.
Done.
Oh, make the call. Arizona beat him. Make the call. Let him coach his son for a year. I think Bianco has 1 year left at LSU.
He was a junior. I remember seeing that pop up on the Jumbotron. Right.
That actually makes me feel better. You giving me the numbers there. For some reason, I thought it was going to be some ungodly, like, what are we doing here? I mean, it's a bigger park.
408 is pretty.
No, I agree. But it feels.
I mean, I always thought kind of 400 to center is kind of like an average field. So we're at 390. We're a little short.
I'm trying 408, to
a little big.
It just feels like the balls we hit to dead center are like going over the freaking batter's eye. And then when we pull to the sides, they're clearing by enough. And like I said, anything to the corners, if it would be a home run in Lindsey Nelson due to the extra, you know, space on the field, I mean, it's likely to still drop in for a double, maybe even a triple with that much extra room. Mm. And also, we're a pretty speedy lineup. It will be interesting, to see, like if we change up.
Yeah, do we run more? Do we... we already bunt a lot. And maybe you bunt more in that part. Like, I don't understand why we bunt as much as we do at home.
Well, I mean, they let off with a bunt yesterday, or at least they tried to. Now, did we get that one
Ferguson?
Down?
Ferguson, I don't think he got it down, but you got a guy into a scoring position.
So he did get it down.
I think Did he get safe on it? No.
No. But he moved him over. You get the bunt down. It's a sack bunt. I mean, obviously you'd love to beat it out, but you're not trying to bunt for a hit in that scenario. You're trying to get a guy in scoring position. And then we get the two-run shot, so it worked. I mean, you got an extra run off that.
Like Dirk Hay tried to bunt one time, got two strikes, struck out because
he shouldn't be bunting.
And then the next guy struck out. Like, we ended up leaving two guys on because, in my opinion, Dirk Hay would have had a bit – like,
let him swing.
Just let him hit. Yeah.
No, I agree with that. That's probably the only thing all year where I'm like, what are we doing? Is when we sometimes choose to bunt when it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Certain points of games where I understand it and I would do it still. But, I mean, it's kind of like running the option, though. Like, if you're going to be a small ball team, I feel like you need to practice that a lot. You need to be really good bat handler type of guys. And, I mean, I get it. If you got guys like first and second, nobody out, you know, and you want to move them over and then give yourself a chance to get in a guy on a sack fly or even a ground out. If you're trying to get one run, that makes sense. Late in games where you just have to have one run to tie it up, I think it can make sense, especially depending on who's up to bat. But Tennessee doesn't have a lot of guys who are like really good bunters and like can't hit. Like Roberto said, I mean, they're all their averages are kind of in a pretty tight grouping.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we get that one guy up there like, well, I mean, there's no way he's going to get a hit. But he's a great bunter.
LSU's catcher.
He's terrible.
Average was like 130 or something.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable. I mean, don't get me wrong. Great throw to second.
He's a great defensive catcher, they were saying.
I mean, I guess, I don't know. Not much you can do about some of those pitches yesterday, but he did all right. He took a couple to the face mask once they started to get a little bit wild. But
Logan also wanted to let us know, this was like an hour ago, so sorry I missed this, but appreciate it nonetheless, that Dallas Baptist did submit to host, but they weren't picked as one of the top 20, so that's why they couldn't host the Super Regional, which just seems...
Well, could they not? Could they not make him an alternate for...
Why
you got a week...
Well, I mean, typically, typically you don't have to submit anything. You just they just pick after it's done. Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand why they had to limit it to 20. Like, yeah. Why did that matter? Why didn't they just say, all right, here's 35 sites that could potentially be used, depending on who wins and who loses. And then once something weird happens like this, they could have sent Virginia to Dallas Baptist, and at least those kids will be playing in front of a big packed house.
Well, it's a small stadium.
It has to be, right?
It's nice, though.
Is it bigger than Lindsey Nelson?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
It might be...
I mean, it'd be packed.
8 rows up.
But it's nice?
And it probably stretches from, like, halfway down the first baseline to halfway in between third and home. But it is very nice.
Horner Ballpark. It holds... Its record attendance is 3,242. There you go.
Very nice, though, isn't it, Nate?
Looks nice, yeah.
What would you say? What was the...
3,242.
It's crazy. It looks like... I look at that, and I think, oh, that's a terribly small stadium. It only holds about 1,200 less seats than we do.
In 2016, D1 baseball ranked as the 20th best stadium in college baseball.
I'm assuming Lindsey Nelson did not make the list.
I mean, I'm just on DBU's site. It doesn't actually have a link to where I could see what the ranking was. Just like one of those little tidbits they pulled out and like, all right, we're going to put this out there for everyone to see. Mm-hmm.
Did they announce any attendance for this game, these games this past weekend?
I'll get you one.
I was looking for that and never found it.
I didn't really see any empty seats. There were 4 behind us, but it just took that family a long time to get in. They had 3 very young children.
I'm pretty sure Callum said that the attendance was better yesterday than Saturday.
Really?
By a couple hundred.
I actually would not doubt that. My guess is standing room, they probably realized they could let a few more people in. Mm. I do know that the bleachers were much more packed yesterday than they were the day before. And, I mean, I felt like they were packed on Saturday, but they were – I mean, there were people who had bleacher seats and could they found nowhere to sit, even asking people to kind of slide and crunch in there.
It says the capacity for DBU Stadium is only 2,000.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was reading the
he just a little guy
record attendance. Yeah, I don't know why Tennessee didn't put the PDF. Oh, it just says attendance for Saturday is 4,400.
4,400 exactly.
That's what it says.
Is that our current max capacity? So they have to say that.
I think so.
And then you said that was Saturday or yesterday?
That was Saturday, and then. Let's see if I can get yesterday.
If it says 4,400, I'll just kind of laugh.
4,427.
Hey, so there you go, Hickman. 27 more people, according to the eye in the sky.
In a stadium so small like Lindsey Nelson, it really shows.
It does. It mattered. Oh, so what's the number?
What?
9,000.
Oh.
9,500. Just add.
I mean, I would like.
Yeah, at least double.
If you're creative, you can do it in a way where, you know, when you don't need certain seats, you don't have to have them exposed and look stupid.
That's what I'm down for.
I mean, even if it's just a cool graphic tarp over some, you know, metal bleachers, kind of down the line and up or something, you can make it look good.
South Carolina's is what's where they went and toured, right?
Mm-hmm.
It only has 6,600 seated, but they can get 8,200 in there.
I'd like to be a little bit higher than that.
Okay. Baseball stadiums are always good with the standing room, though.
Oh, yeah.
So,
because during a baseball game, a lot of people just want to have room to walk around anyway.
Yeah.
Bigger video board.
Isn't it Mississippi State where they have that section where it's standing or it's like standing room only, but you can bring your camp chair?
Yes.
And so they showed the video of like as soon as the gate opened, the first people they sprint to their spot because once they put their chair down, like that's their spot. So it's basically like creating the block party, but where you can see the game.
Pushing it 20 yards to the right.
Inverting so they're facing the home plate.
Hmm.
But we don't have a berm out there past the...
Did you hear the conversation about flipping the field over the weekend?
No.
I don't know where this started, but it's a pretty interesting idea. It would take some work, obviously, but it was basically turn the grand entrance where the outfield is, have it come off Todd Helton, flip the field, adjust the seating as needed in certain spots, build out where you have the extra room, and then build your new entrance to the stadium from the other side. That way, basically, it's all the seating you already have stays, and then you just...
It's like a center field grandstand?
Yes.
Okay.
Like where the press box, it would just be like extra press box, and you have, I mean, really the luxury box over here down first baseline, it's still a luxury box. It wouldn't necessarily
you'd
be...
You'd have to put a batter's eye, though, under the press box, right? So all those seats would go away. But you could still have the ones on the side.
Yeah, you'd have to have... Well, I don't
two
know.
Two center sections would have to be greened out.
Is that true if it's a backdrop like that? Like,
you can't have people back there.
Are you sure? Like,
100%.
TD Ameritrade does have a batter's eye. I mean, but... Okay, so you take out the center section of seats in the outfield, what is now the outfield...
You might could keep the press box on the height of the eye line.
You could.
I
think you could.
As long as it's...
I think you could. So you'd have like an outfield press box. You're going to need new press boxes anyway.
Here's the one thing.
I just thought it was a very interesting idea. It was a very creative idea. I'm not saying it necessarily is going to happen.
Does that mean the wind's blowing in, though?
Well, that's the thing. It was weird this weekend because the wind was coming from the north. That is actually pretty rare.
Too expensive.
Well, that was the other cause. The other thing is like, how expensive is that really? Because then you have to build a new press box. I mean, a new grand entrance, which they're going to do that anyway. Like, they're going to build the new grand entrance, or at least facelift what they have. But yeah. I just thought it was a very interesting concept of what if we flip the field, keep what you have as best you can. You're going to have to make some adjustments, and then you just build the new. You know, behind home plate area, you know, maybe you turn the right, what are now the third baseline bleach, maybe that whole thing becomes a porch. I don't know. I thought it was fascinating.
Let's play in Randy's place for a year and demolish the whole thing and start.
Well, that was the other conversation. Well, honestly, if you did it that way, if you flipped it, you might have to play there for a year anyway. Hmm. I don't know how quickly they could get that done.
I don't think you have to.
I don't think you have to flip it.
What if you don't flip it, but you just tear it all down and move the whole park towards the train tracks like 30 yards so you can have more of a better entrance area? Just tear the whole thing down, though.
You
got to keep some of the aspects of the steamer that make it the steamer, you know. God. You don't want to completely...
It was hot over the weekend!
It was a freaking steamer yesterday, I promise you.
Balls were jumping out of it, too.
God.
Popping out of there.
I was thankful for it. If that game had been like a 1-0 game, I would have died. But the excitement pretty frequently made it at least to where you forgot about how freaking hot it was for a while.
Final segment, back at you next. Final segment of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out.
We'll get into a lot of what TV had to say. I'm sure he'll be making the radio rounds this week. I'm sure there'll be a lot of interesting comments. I saw that the LSU fans are very sad that some people booed Paulman. You know what? I'm sorry. He did it to himself. He ran his mouth. He didn't think he'd come back here. He called us classless. We just proved him right. I didn't boo him. I'm not mad at those who did.
If I was there, I would have booed him.
I didn't boo. I just started laughing at everyone that did boo because it was just pretty funny to me.
When they interviewed him on TV, I can't take the guy seriously. He talks like...
It's so weird. He just does not give off a I'm a great head coach vibe at all.
Like, it's not like a feminine voice, but I think it's as soft of a voice as a male can possibly have.
He's just very passive in everything. Except those comments, which is really funny to me.
Then he walked them back.
Yeah, he apologized before the first game, and then again after the first game. I don't know. I saw a lot of LSU fans. They seemed to be having a good time. Well, you know, before the games started.
I used to always really like LSU fans.
It's just funny that LSU fans probably the worst rap in the SEC for how they treat visiting opponents and their fan bases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe. I mean, you hear stories from everywhere.
Yeah.
You know.
Them or Florida, maybe?
Yeah, those are the two that come to mind. Georgia, when they get good. Like, I mean, I had a grown man just get in my face and bark at me when I was, like, 15 years old at Georgia. So, Georgia can go to hell. We won that game, by the way. Actually, I've never had a bad experience at Florida. Not one. In fact, they're funny. Well, at least in my experience. I think they're funny kind of the way they heckle. I've never been to an LSU football game, but I've heard that it's just...
See, the LSU
like, you get
fans,
the good, but you also get the really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. When they played Knoxville for the Monsoon game, I thought they were pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen one report from a Tennessee fan that had a bad experience with an LSU fan this weekend. Now, I'm sure they were on... They
had a bad experience with us.
I didn't see that either. This feels like people just making stuff up on the internet, you know?
I feel like the people that actually went to the game that's an LSU fan probably really enjoyed their experience. Yeah, sucks we lost. Probably met some cool Tennessee fans. But the people on Twitter just watching through the TV, no, Tennessee fans are mean.
They're so mean. They're nasty. Classic. Paul said so. I mean, Grit just tweeted it. Like, what, were we supposed to get Paul like a teddy bear and some balloons?
Yeah.
Like a big card signed by the team, like, happy retirement, Paul? No, it was our job to send you into retirement. We did our job. Mm-hmm. You should be thanking us. Your vacation starts now, Paul.
Yep. Go play golf.
Lots of golf. Or whatever it is you do. Maybe you're a shuffleboard guy. Curling. I don't know.
Maybe he likes to sew.
Croquet. He's a croquet guy. Big knitter. Knitter and croquet. He'll get his, what are those called? The chopsticks? The
needles?
They just call it needles?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of boring. Thought they had a cool name. But no, atmosphere was awesome. How would you rate the atmosphere, Dave?
Like on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I guess for that baseball stadium, given the circumstances, heat.
So like, here's the biggest thing for me. In 2016, when I worked within the athletic department, one of my biggest responsibilities was making sure everything was like I was falling in line with getting the baseball games prepared for, breaking everything down afterwards, making sure that everyone was getting to where they needed to be. And seeing that atmosphere yesterday compared to where it was 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I can't honestly give another comparison as far as any event I'd ever been to and it being a night and day difference. I wouldn't even compare it to something like when we watched Tennessee be so great in 2016 as far as the atmosphere getting up for the Florida game and all of that, like to what we've seen Neyland Stadium become over the last several years. Like, I don't even think it's – obviously, that's a different direction, but it's just been incredible to kind of see – like, I never thought I'd see Lindsey Nelson full.
Sure.
And the fans to be as excited as they were. I mentioned the tailgating scene beforehand.
Felt like a 3:30 CBS, like a big game in town tailgate.
Yeah, I mean,
not
obviously,
as big,
yeah,
not all across campus,
confined
but where,
into
yeah,
one area.
And where
yeah.
it was, it had that feel. Pop-up tents set up everywhere, you know, barbecues going on, coolers, everybody's just having a really good time. It was great. And then I was with both of you guys, like, that first night on the watch party, is like, all right, is it going to look good? Are there going to be enough people? Is it going to kind of come off as a hokey thing? Or was it? I thought it was really good. I mean, if ESPN's going to go to the street shot five times, you did your job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I fast-forwarded through a lot of... yesterday's game. Did they go back to it yesterday too a couple times?
Not as much.
They did a few. Economics.
But did it look good still? I mean, it's still
smaller crowd, but
it was still good.
I don't know. I thought the crowd this weekend was, and I'm not saying this just to say it. Where we sat, I don't think I heard a single curse word. Like nothing, in my opinion, crossed the line.
Right.
one time.
I didn't have any LSU fans in my area, but no, I didn't hear anything.
Right? I didn't either. So I'm not saying it didn't happen. I wasn't everywhere at once, but I thought it was awesome. And it was a job well done.
Well, Tennessee is done at Lindsey Nelson for the year because they're off to Omaha.
Let's get those renovations cracking.
You got a couple games today. We'll be back tomorrow. The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.